ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet. As I always say, I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and welcome once again to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Today is the last Thursday of August, August 30th, 2018. And we continue our story on Mr. B.V. Raman Rao. Sai first, service first. The exemplary life of the great servitor of the Lord, Mr. Raman Rao, the former editor of Telugu Sanatana Sarathi. In the previous episode, I shared with you how Swami made a surprise visit to his house in March 1968, and that was the time Bhagwan formed the Sri Satya Sai Sevadal II, the Sevadal as a group, as an institution. Bhagwan gave it a formal name and character, and I told you how Bhagwan gave this group the first major task of serving in Anantapur during the inauguration of the College for Women that Bhagwan set up in July 1968. And I shared with you the amazing lessons on service that Bhagwan subtly gave this entire team during that work and after the task was completed when they came to Prashanthi Nilayam. Then I also gave you a glimpse of Swami's visit to East-West Godavari districts, which happened in the next year, January 1969, and how Mr. Raman Rao became part of Bhagwan's entourage. And I shared with you one sweet incident of the flow of Bhagwan's grace to two distressed rural ladies. There is so much more that happened during that historic trip to the Eastern Delta region of Andhra Pradesh, and plenty of amazing and revealing moments. So today we'll spend some more time on those lovely anecdotes that happened in the January of 1969 in the towns and villages of Andhra Pradesh in the East and West Godavari districts. But before that, let me tell you about one most landmark event. Let's discuss this historic event that happened in May 1968, the first World Conference of Sri Satya Sai Organizations that happened in Mumbai, and how Swami prepared Mr. Raman Rao and the devotees in Hyderabad for this watershed moment in the life of the Sri Satya Sai Avatar. So after Raman Rao, sir, developed faith in Bhagwan and his family was into Swami's teachings completely, you know, this happened in 1965, 66, 67. I shared with you all those formative years of his life with Bhagwan. So now they started reading more about Swami's literature and about his teachings. And, you know, you have that aspiration, you have that interest. Now you have that desire. What can I do to become a better devotee? And as they ruminated on Bhagwan's teachings, they noticed that Swami laid a great emphasis on Namasmarana. And his friend Desikachari, who actually brought him to Swami, he was very enthusiastic to start Nagar Sankirtan. So in 1967, in an area called Vigyanpuri in Hyderabad, Desikachari, Mr. Raman Rao and a few others started this sadhana of going into the streets early in the morning singing bhajans. So initially it was just six of them, maybe few members of their family, and fortunately there were few other devotees also, and some of them were good singers like Mr. Krishna Mohan, Mr. Vijay Kumar. Swami had touched the life of so many by then. So every Thursday and Sunday morning, 5:30 a.m. to 6:30 a.m. in Vigyanpuri, they started Nagar Sankirtan. And with time, in a month, the number of participants increased to 15. And so in those days, Mr. Raman Rao used to visit Prashanthi Nilayam very often. And on one of those occasions, he submitted to Swami that they have started this sadhana. And Bhagwan was very happy. Swami encouraged Mr. Raman Rao to start now bhajan mandalis in every colony and also to organize Nagasankirtans with the help of Sevadal. So within another 2 months, Mr. Raman Rao and his team, they set up 6 bhajan mandalis. Bhajan mandalis are basically pre-samitis before a group of devotees could become a samiti in an area. They first congregate and do bhajans, and once the bhajan sadhana picks up and there are more members in the group and they are capable enough to do different activities like spiritual activities, educational activities, service activities, then it becomes a samiti. That is the rule of the Satya Sai organization. So here they started in a small way. So bhajan mandalis are samitis, started in a small way, and that's what happened. So in 2 months, 6 bhajan mandalis started. And as I was telling you, there were many competent singers too. There was one person by name Uchil, there was another lady Malati Subramanyam, Krishna Mohan, Surya Narayana. So all these people helped, and that is how the Sai movement was picking up in Hyderabad. And just to give you a glimpse of how Swami had, you know, touched so many lives by then, let me share with you the story of Malati Subramanyam. So in those days, Swami used to accept pan, you know. People probably are familiar of what a pan is, basically a digestive made of betel nuts, lime, calcium, etc., wrapped in betel leaves. So Bhagwan used to, in those days, accept pan from devotees. So Malati Subramanyam, who is affectionately called as Malati Mami, so in her altar, she used to always offer pan to Bhagwan. And whenever she came to Puttaparthi, she would ask her children to continue that practice in her home in Hyderabad. So on one occasion when she was in Puttaparthi, Swami came to her and Swami said, "I have got an ulcer in my mouth." And Malati Mami, she couldn't understand why Swami is saying that to her. And she was confused, she was concerned. And to make it a little more clear, Swami said, "I went to your house. And it was full of only calcium. And after 3 days of staying in Parthi, when Malati Mami returned to her home, that is when she found that the pan box was full of calcium." Bhagwan, in his own way, was letting her know that he is there with her. And Malati Mami was someone who was trained in Carnatic music. She was a student of Carnatic music and she was used to singing kritis, but she did not know bhajans at that point in time. And Swami chose her as one of his instruments to facilitate this sadhana of bhajan singing in Hyderabad. And in fact, how she started singing bhajans also is a scintillating story. So once when Bhagwan gave her an interview, Swami told her to start leading bhajans in the bhajan hall in Prashantinilayam, and she refused. She's saying that, you know, "Swami, I don't know any bhajan. I don't know even a single bhajan." But Swami said, "No, you sing." But she just refused yet again. The third time, Swami is in the bhajan hall and Swami is asking her to sing, and she again firmly, she said, "No, Swami, I cannot." But Swami now insisted, and now Malati Mami had no choice. So she went to the bhajan hall. In the interview room, Swami said, "You have to sing." So she went to the bhajan hall, and there she met Mrs. Venkamma, Bhagwan's older sister. And Venkamma Garu filled her with a lot of confidence and directions. And she said, "See, if God has asked you to sing, why do you worry? Just sing. God has asked you to sing." And she also gave her a tip and said, "See, once Swami looks at you, you start singing. And the moment Swami stops playing the cymbals or the manjira and Swami stops keeping beat in his hands, wherever you are, whatever you are singing, just stop. So just look at Swami. When he indicates to you, start. And when you see the indication again, stop." So this is what Mrs. Venkamma suggested to Malati Mami. And so that day bhajan started, and as always in those days, Mr. Raja Reddy sang the first bhajan. And as that bhajan ended, Bhagwan looked at Malati Mami and Swami indicated her to sing the next bhajan. And Malati Mami was shocked, even though Bhagwan had told her, Bhagwan had been asking her, but still her mind just went blank. And Swami was looking at her, there was silence and she had to do something, and so she just started to sing. She didn't know what she was singing, she had no idea what was coming out of her voice, but she just started singing. One bhajan started and Bhagwan put beats, and Bhagwan's beat never stopped. Swami continued to keep beats and the bhajan went on in different speeds and in different tunes. And generally we know nowadays bhajans happen in two speeds, but in those days bhajans used to happen in several speeds. It all depended on what Bhagwan was communicating to the singers. And on that day the bhajan went on, her bhajan went on for the first round, second round, third round, fourth round, fifth round, sixth round, for 8 rounds her bhajan went on and on, and Swami was just not stopping, keeping the beats on his lap. And after that session, Venkamma comes to Malati Mami and says, "Why did you lie to me? You sing so well. Look how much Swami enjoyed what you sang." In fact, when we met Malati Mami perhaps 5-6 years ago, even now, you know, even then she was saying that she had absolutely no clue what she was doing. She doesn't remember what she sang. She was so oblivious to what was happening. It was almost like someone had taken over her. And that is how Bhagwan converted Malati Mami into a flute to launch this sacred spiritual practice of bhajans in Hyderabad. And that year itself, Malati Mami composed 108 bhajans and offered at Bhagwan's lotus feet during the Dasara celebrations. And of course, during the next few years, she had many experiences with Bhagwan. Swami miraculously gave a new life to her 17-year-old son, who was at the brink of death from brain fever. He survived that and later on to become a scientist and the deputy director of the National Geographic Research Institute. So that is how Bhagwan had touched so many lives, and all these people were now coming together. Raman Rao sir was the catalyst bringing and making this happen. And that is how the bhajan mandalis started. So in 2 months, 6 bhajan mandalis were formed. And once this had happened, you know, Raman Rao sir again went to Prashantinilayam and he told Swami about the progress that they have done. And that is when Bhagwan told him, "A conference of Satya Sai organizations is being organized in Bombay, in Mumbai, in May 1968. You have to come there." And Raman Rao sir immediately said, "But Swami, I am neither a delegate nor an office bearer." And Swami immediately said, "You will become everything. You will become all. You better come there." That is how Bhagwan filled Raman Rao sir with blessings and invited him to come for the World Conference of Satya Sai Organizations, May 1968. So on 12th May 1968, the housewarming ceremony of Bhagwan's residence in Dharmakshetra, Satyadeep, happened. And it was reported in the newspapers how 1,000 devotees conducted Nagar Sankirtan in the morning in the streets of Mumbai, singing bhajans with accompaniments, and the ladies on the roads were greeting all these devotees with aarties. So it was a grand occasion of the unfurling of Bhagwan's abode in Mumbai in May 1968, and the first World Conference of Satya Sai Organizations then started, which was held on the 16th, 17th and 18th of May. And it was during this historic occasion that Bhagwan declared that this was the first time in the history of the world that a world conference of the devotees of an avatar was being held in the immediate physical presence and under the direct supervision and observation of the avatar himself. This is what Bhagwan declared, that never before happened in the history of mankind, that is the World Conference of the Devotees of an Avatar, happened, and Ramon Rao sir and a senior colleague of his, Gopal Krishnamurti, they went to Dharmakshetra for Bhagwan's darshan. And when Swami saw them in Mumbai, you know, Swami spotted them and Swami called the organizers and Swami said, please give guest passes to these people. So that's how Ramon Rao sir got special passes to be part of the conference. And because of this pass, he had the chance to sit very close to the dais on the 2 days of the conference meetings. And so off and on, Swami would look at him, Swami would smile, sometimes he would get the chance to touch his feet. So those were really, really cherished moments for Mr. Ramon Rao. And one evening, a meeting was arranged on a grand scale in the premises of Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan in Mumbai. Bhagwan was a chief guest, but the meeting was also presided over by Sri Morarji Desai, the Deputy Prime Minister of India then. And Mr. Desai was the first person to speak, and he started off his speech with a bit of a pride. He said, I will speak in Hindi, our national language. Baba will speak in his regional language, Telugu, and then it will be translated into English. So this is what he said as he began to talk, and he finished his talk, and in the talk he praised the lofty ideals of Satya Sai organizations and the work being done and so on, and Bhagwan's philosophy. And after his talk, Swami then got up to speak, and Swami responded to that unwarranted remark of Mr. Desai, and Swami did it in his own subtle way, in a very interesting way. What Swami did is he started speaking not in Telugu, not in English, not in Hindi, but in Sanskrit. For full 5 minutes, Swami spoke only in Sanskrit, and the audience were spellbound. There was resounding applause. People were stunned to listen to such chaste Sanskrit from the divine, in the divine voice. And then Bhagwan said, Sanskrit is our national language. Sanskrit is a treasure trove of our Vedic culture and Vedic wisdom. Hindi also, Bhagwan said, is a regional language. The national language of Indians is Sanskrit, Bhagwan mentioned. And Swami said, unfortunately, Sanskrit receives only a stepmotherly treatment from the government. So this is how Bhagwan captivated the crowd, you know, on that occasion. And it was again a very, very powerful message coming from the divine himself. Professor Kasturi, who was translating Bhagwan's discourse, very beautifully writes in Satyam Shiva Sundaram that as the language of gods flowed so mellifluously from those divine lips, I was almost struck dumb with admiration and apprehension. I wondered, how am I to canalize this surging Ganga into the Thames? I mean, referring to how can he translate Sanskrit into English? And much to his relief, Bhagwan in a short while moved to Telugu, and that is when translation began. And Bhagwan mentioned how the body is the shrine in which the eye is installed, the capital I. And Swami said, the society of the country is the temple of the we, that is the collective will. And Swami said, the whole world is the temple of he. And that he is the sum total of I and we. So I, we to he. So that is what Bhagwan talked about in that discourse in Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan. Swami said, this is a gathering of people of all faiths, and it is fitting that I assert here that every faith is but an endeavor to cleanse the impulses and emotions as part of the process of discovering the truth, both seen and unseen. Bhagwan went on to add, the search for this truth is the same, because it is the same treasure. The summit is one, only the tracks are many. And Bhagwan also said how there are many guides today, and these guides are clamoring and competing for prestige and wealth. So Bhagwan was warning people not to be misguided by the so-called spiritual guides that we have in society, but know that the summit is won, and the paths may be different. And one very, very interesting thing, one awesome moment that happened that Raman Rao sir was personally witness to during this occasion, was immediately by the side of the dais was seated Mr. K.M. Munshi, who was the chief of the Bhavans Journal and who was a well-known patriot. So at that time, he was suffering from Parkinson's disease. And Bhagwan came to Dr. K.M. Munshi, and in fact, Dr. Munshi has described this very beautifully. He says, Baba rose from his seat, took my fingers and covered them with his own, and then rubbed them with sacred ashes which came out of his hand. He then waved with a sweeping gesture and caught a ring he had materialized. He slipped this ring onto the little finger of my right hand, and I immediately perceived the stiffness of my fingers almost gone, and so had the trembling in the right arm and leg. So that was one occasion when Mr. Raman Rao was witness to this miracle of Bhagwan, where Swami parked Parkinson's out of Mr. Munshi's body permanently. And Mr. Munshi later on wrote, Baba has the capacity to plant seeds of faith in men, seeds which, when they sprout, will liberate people from greed, hate and fear. So the World Conference of Sri Satya Sai organizations, which Mr. Raman Rao had the chance to witness, to get a ringside view of the entire proceeding, he saw not only what Bhagwan revealed about himself, but he also saw all these amazing manifestations of his grace. And as the conference was concluding, Bhagwan was revealing so many facets about the Satya Sai avatar. And Bhagwan declared on one occasion, this human form is one in which every divine entity, every divine principle, that is to say, all the names and forms ascribed by man to God, are manifest. Sarva devata swarupalanu dharinchina manavakarame ee akaramu. In Telugu, that's what it means. This is that form which subsumes in it all the names and forms ascribed by man to God. And Swami said, do not allow doubt to distract you. If you only install in the altar of your heart steady faith in my divinity, you can win a vision of my reality. Instead, if you swing like the pendulum of a clock, one moment of faith and another moment of doubt, you can never succeed in comprehending my truth and gain that bliss. You are fortunate that in this very life, you have a chance to experience the bliss of the Sarva Devatva Swarupam. You have the chance to see and experience the ecstasy of being in the presence of the one who is all names and forms rolled into one. Bhagwan also said, let me draw your attention to another fact. In the past, on the occasions when God incarnated on earth, the bliss of recognizing him in the incarnation was vouchsafed only after the physical embodiment had left the world, despite plenteous evidences of his grace. So if you see the lives of Rama, Krishna, even Shirdi Sai Avatar, very, very few people really had that conviction that they are divine, they are divinity incarnate. Take the life of Jesus. Only after the avatars departed their physical frame, you had multitudes developing that faith in the incarnation. And Bhagwan says, in the earlier times, the loyalty and devotion which those incarnations commanded while in their physical embodiment, it arose through fear or awe at their superhuman powers and skills or at their imperial and penal authority. Bhagavan is referring to how, you know, a Rama or Krishna, people, the people of Ayodhya or Dwarka, they related to Sri Rama or Krishna as kings because of their powers. You know, they had loyalty, they had devotion, but very, very few people really believe that they are divine in human form. And Swami says, you ponder for a moment on the Satya Sai manifestation in this age of rampant materialism, aggressive disbelief and irreverence. What is it that brings to it the adoration of millions from all over the world? And Swami says, you will be convinced that the basic reason for this is the fact that this is divinity in human form. And again, how fortunate you are that you can witness all the countries of the world paying homage to India, to Bharat, that you can hear, even while this body is existing, adoration of the name of Satya Sai reverberating from even the nooks and corners of the world. When this form is amidst you, with you, before you, it was such a life-altering moment for every person who was part of this first world conference. Professor Kasturi writes, this thrilling declaration stunned the delegates, you know, as they left the hall and they reached their rooms. You know, each one was as if walking few inches above the ground, because they were like blessed with a unique vision. And Bhagwan, the way he emphatically identified himself with all the names and forms of God that ever man molded in his mind in the course of his history on earth, that was something which left an indelible impact in the hearts of everyone. 1500 delegates, and they were there not just from four corners of India, but from America, England, Mexico, Holland, Norway, Uganda, Kenya, Iran, Sri Lanka, Malaysia, Hong Kong. You had representatives from every corner of the world, and Mr. Raman Rao, who had this opportunity to be a part of this conference and witness all these, was fully charged. He was so wrapped up with dedicating his life to Bhagavan, dedicating his every ounce of his energy to his work. In fact, as the conference ended, Swami summed up the suggestions that were made during the deliberations among the delegates, and Swami said that bhajans, dhyana, study circles, nagar sankirtan, all of them are very, very important activities for all the Satya Sai units, Swami mentioned. And this again struck a chord in Raman Rao sir, because if you look at his journey to the World Conference, it happened because of Nagar Sankirtan. Because Desikachari told, let's start Nagar Sankirtan. That is when, you know, he went to Bhagwan and mentioned, and Swami showed so much enthusiasm and said, okay, now start Bhajan Mandi. So it was Nagar Sankirtan that gave him the chance to attend the World Conference. And as the World Conference ended, Swami is again emphasizing that Nagar Sankirtan is very, very important. In fact, Swami said, Jayadeva, Gauranga, Tukaram, Kabir, Purandaradas, all of them led God into their heart through Nagar Sankirtan. Gathered together in the hours before dawn and walked slowly along the streets, singing bhajans, glorifying the Lord. Carry the name to every doorstep, wake up the sleeping, purify the air polluted by day-long angry shouts of hate and greed, faction and fear. What greater service can you render than this, beginning the day with the name of the Lord and helping others to remember Him? This is what Swami exhorted everyone as the conference came to an end. And Raman Rao sir was so filled, so wrapped up with enthusiasm. He had received the reward for his Nagar Sankirtan initiative a millionfold, and he was superbly inspired now to continue this sadhana of chanting his name, this sadhana which is the only panacea for all the ills of the current times. If we want to remove the pollution that is enveloping us in the air, in the water, in the soil. Swami says, chant Namasmarana. It has the power to not only clear the pollution around us, it will clear all the pollution in us, around us, and even beyond us. So that is what Raman Rao sir came back to Hyderabad with. We have to continue to chant his name, because this is the only panacea, only solution for all the problems of the world.
Sai Nama Kirtana Kali Yuga Sadhana. Jagadodharana Krishna Janardana. Krishna Janardana. Sai Nama Kirtana Kali Yuga Sadhana. Sai Murari Shri Madhusudana.
So the Sai Nama Kirtana started in great enthusiasm, not only in Hyderabad. If you see at that point in time, because of the number of events that had happened in Prashantinilayam, you had tremendous Satya Sai movement in the East and West Godavari districts. And I mentioned to you last time how Bhagwan had visited this area in January 1969. So his visit to the East Godavari district at that point in time, it just showed how much Bhagwan has endeared himself to the masses. Swami traveled for long hours, sometimes from early morning till late in the night, and went to the remotest villages and spoke to the rural people, accepted their love and gave himself completely, undeterred by all physical discomforts. On 16th January 1969, Swami was at Rajahmundry. And Rajahmundry is on the banks of Godavari River. Godavari River was so dear in the Shirdi Sai Avatar, because people who came for Shirdi Baba Darshan, they used to have bath in Godavari and then come for Darshan at Dwarkamai. Godavari flows near Shirdi, and Godavari has saturated itself with the glory of the previous body of Bhagwan. And here too, Bhagwan, when he went to East Godavari districts, he saw, everyone was a witness to how all these people on the banks of the sacred Godavari are so surcharged with the Sai Bhava. On 17th and 18th January, mammoth gatherings assembled at Rajahmundry, and Bhagwan said, this world is but a play enacted and directed by the divine. Let your love and longing, desire and search be directed only towards God. And Swami told them to give up inflammatory assertions, malicious talk and angry negativity. Swami said, with the 26 letters of the English alphabet, all the English books in existence are written, composed or printed. The letters themselves are without any attributes. They are neither good or bad. But it is the combination of these letters in various ways that make books of all kinds, dull books, insipid books, trash books, or books filled with cosmic revelations and inspirations. So, same is with the mind. You can make or mar the career of man here and hereafter through your mind. So, like this, Bhagwan continued to inspire people to take to the path of sadhana, to take to the path of shreyas, to not be deluded with the transitoriness of the world. So for 5 days from the 20th, Swami moved on a merciful mission of love along the road of the delta, and Swami was showering grace on nearly a million souls who were gasping anxiously for every drop. Swami visited more than 100 villages and scores of towns, and you know, filling someone with a smile, a glance to someone else, a pat here, a word there, a gift of vibhuti to someone, a memento to the third person. So like the many canals that take the waters of Godavari River into a million fields to confer life and vigor to the crops, here was Bhagwan who went along the roads on the banks of these same canals and taking the infinitely more sustaining waters from the heaven, the waters that can grant immortality, that can grant peace, that can grant bliss to the devotees. And when Ramana Rao sir heard about Bhagwan's visit to the East-West Godavari districts, that is when I mentioned to you last time how on 21st January 1969, he called up Mr. D.V. Ramarao, who was the district president of the East Godavari district, and he asked him if he, along with Mr. Satyamurthy, could come to have Bhagwan's darshan at Rajahmundry. And when Mr. Rama Rao permitted him, so that is when he drove down to Rajahmundry. And when Bhagwan saw Mr. Raman Rao and Mr. Satyamurthy, Swami immediately asked him, when did you come? With lot of love. And Swami granted Padnamaskaram, and Swami asked him to join for breakfast. And Swami was in full swing. Mr. Raman Rao saw how Swami was constantly busy granting number of interactions to every person, and Mr. Rama Rao was there behind him assisting Bhagwan. And that is when he got the news that Swami permits him to be part of his retinue and that his car could be behind Swami's car. So that is how Mr. Raman Rao became part of Bhagwan's East-West Godavari trip. On the 21st, you know, the caravan took one particular road where, you know, the entire population of the countryside seemed to be ranged as a never-ending guard of honor for Bhagwan. They were shouting Jai Jai as Bhagwan used to go. Swami used to slow down his car to give darshan, and many times, you know, you could see that Swami's hand could be seen waving at the people long after he had passed the place where they were standing. And that is the bond that you saw with Bhakta and Bhagwan. So many times Swami halted. In fact, Swami many times opened the door and he would stand on the footboard so that, you know, the surging masses could have a better darshan, so that they can imprint that portrait of Bhagwan in their hearts and worship in the silence of the altar of their inner being. So that is how the East-West Godavari trip went on. On the 22nd, they went to Tamrada and Pedapuram. One interesting thing happened in Peddapuram. Now in Peddapuram, Bhagwan went to Challa Apparao, a devotee since many years, an ardent devotee in fact, and he was earlier a political prisoner. He was bedridden since 3 years and his condition had worsened about 8 months ago, and the doctor who was examining him, he mentioned that doctor, this Challa Apparao was refusing to take any medicine. He said, only Swami will look after me. So he relied solely on Bhagwan. He refused to take any treatment. He had acute anemia. He was having bleeding piles. His body was swollen. His hemoglobin percentage had gone down to drastically low. Urination was not happening. So many problems. And the doctors had advised blood transfusion, but he was not agreeing for anything. Finally, the doctor said that, you know, the chances of survival are now almost zero. And when that happened, some of his friends, they had gone to Bhagwan and they told Swami that Mr. Challa Apparao is not taking medicines. And Bhagwan said, oh, it's okay. Swami said, do all those people who take medicine, don't they not die? So it is okay. That was Bhagwan's response. And when Bhagwan himself visited Peddapuram, now Swami went to Apparao's house. Swami sat by his bedside and Swami created a linga. And then Swami directed that this linga be bathed in water ceremonially with appropriate rituals, and that tirtha or that consecrated water be given internally to Apparao. And when that process was started, Dr. G. Keshava Rao, who was looking after Apparao, he says that the patient was transformed the very next moment into health. The swelling odema completely disappeared. Evacuation and urination became normal. Bleeding stopped dramatically. Exhaustion went away. Within a month, Challa Apparao was refreshed. He was shining, like filled with new youthfulness. And Apparao himself described his condition as, before the visit of Baba, I was a corpse. After the visit, I was the victor over death. In fact, as Bhagwan left Apparao's house, Swami assured him that Apparao will come to Puttaparthi in a month. And that is exactly what happened. In 30 days, he was in Puttaparthi, completely new, refreshed, reborn into health, vigor and vitality. So this is what happened in Peddapuram. So in everywhere that Swami was going during this trip, there were so many amazing instances like this happening. And perhaps one does not have documentation of everything that has happened. What we are getting is only a few glimpses. Bhagwan then went for Tamarada, which is about 15 kilometers from Rajahmundry. Then Bhagwan went to Medapadu. There he inaugurated a newly constructed mandir. Then they went to village Vadlamuru, again a village which was famous for oranges. Bhagwan here laid the foundation stone for another Satya Sai Mandir. There was a huge crowd on this place and Swami had a traditional welcome befitting the sacred ceremony. Swami laid the foundation of the Mandir there. He sat on the chair placed on an elevated platform and, you know, all the devotees, they were in ecstasy. Wait, because they had waited and they were longing for Bhagwan. They also showed Swami the plan of the proposed temple that they want to build, and Swami raised both his hands and blessed everyone there. Then Bhagwan moved on the 23rd, 8 a.m. Swami went to Kottapeta, where a public meeting was scheduled to be held at 10 a.m. in the honor of Bhagwan's visit. Again, the college campus was full of people who had trekked miles on foot or cart or cycle or omnibus or country boat. People were coming in hordes for Bhagwan's darshan. So on the way, there were a number of villages where, you know, people had erected these pandals or shamianas, and they would keep Bhagwan's photograph. They would place a chair and they would put a silk sari on that, and there would be 20 people, 100, 200 people in all these pandals, you know, hoping that Swami would stop. And whenever they would see Swami's car, there would be one man with a garland and there would be a woman with an arati plate, and they would rush towards Swami's car. And at so many occasions, Swami would slow down the car, Swami would collect the garland, Swami would receive the arati, Swami would bless. And sometimes Swami would even ask the car to be stopped. He would get down the car and then, you know, he would go and spend some time with these people who had congregated in the small group. So he would materialize vibhuti, he would give it to some old or disabled people and then get back to his car. So that is how the stream of grace was flowing in the January of 1969 in East West Godavari district. About 3 kilometers on the way from Kottapeta, Swami directed the carts to go to a village called Pallevela, where Swami blessed the family of Sri Turaga Purushottam. Again, a very, very old devotee of Bhagwan. No one had told Bhagwan about him, but here was Bhagwan, you know, going to the hearts of people who have been longing for him. So Swami spent 10 minutes there in that house before he got into his car. And then They reached Kottapeta. Now the meeting was organized in the vast ground of a college, and Swami was received with Purna Kumbham. There was Veda chanting and there was a specially erected, you know, decorated platform. Before ascending the platform, Swami spent 10 minutes walking along the long pathway straight in front of the platform, and all people then could have a closer darshan of Bhagwan. Bhagwan's discourse happened and then bhajans continued till 12 noon. After the program was over, Swami still spent another 10 minutes talking to some dignitaries and Vedic scholars there, giving padamaskaram, vibhuti prasadam. This seemed a little unusual, because generally, you know, after the discourse, Swami would rush to the next destination because it was a very, very packed schedule. But for some reason on that day, Swami was spending extra time and delaying his departure from Kottapeta. So finally, by the time they left the venue, it was 12:20, and now they were on the way to Ambaji Pet. And if Ambaji Pet rings a bell in you, you would know what I am talking about if you have heard the previous episode of this series on the life of Mr. Ramanda. You would get what I am referring to. I mentioned about this incident in the previous episode. You know, in Ambaji Peta, Swami is going, you know, Swami spots these two ladies and these two children who are running across the fields, and Swami asks Mr. Ramanrao and others to go and stop them, and they don't listen to Ramanrao sir, because they say, no, we are going because we have to see Sai Baba, we are going to Ambaji Peta to see Sai Baba. And that is when Swami gets down and Swami goes near them, and Swami tries to stop them, but still they don't realize it. No, don't stop us. We are going to Sai Baba. That is when Swami says, I am Sai Baba. I stopped here just for you. And that is when these two ladies, village ladies, they had not known, they had not even, the older lady had not even seen a picture of Baba. And then Swami is telling, I am Sai Baba. That is when, you know, the younger lady then says, correct. He looks like exactly like Baba's picture that we saw in the calendar. And that is when they stop. And you know, here was the Lord going after these devotees, because these devotees were with lot of pain and pining, rushing towards his darshan. Here was the Lord rushing for their darshan. That is what happened here. Swami told these two ladies, I know everything that has happened. Your son was killed for the sake of property. Don't worry. The high court verdict will be in your favor. I stopped here only to tell you this. Come, take my blessings. And Swami gives an envelope of currency notes, and Swami gives them apple, and Swami blesses them profusely. Swami says, no need to go now. You can go back home. You have seen me. So that is how, you know, Swami was blessing, searching and pining and running after devotees and blessing them. That was the Prema Vahini that was happening in East and West Godavari districts. Kottam is new, you know. So here was a new surgence of devotion, new surgence of divine love that was flowing in these areas. So Bhagwan went to Ambaji Pet, and from there Bhagwan moved to Amalapuram, which is the heart of Godavari Delta. And in Amalapuram there were nearly 50,000 people. And Swami said Amalapuram is known as Konasima, known as the Delta region. But Swami said the lovers of Bharatiya culture, the lovers of Indian culture know it as Vedasima, because that is the place where you had so many Vedic scholars and there was academies for Vedic science and Vedic research. That is the place where all this knowledge was pursued with avidity by generations of scholars. And Swami said that this is the place which has to become rich again with the knowledge of Indian culture. And in Amalapuram, they stayed in the two-storied house of Dr. Saraswati. And there a public meeting was arranged. Again, unprecedented rush. Swami climbed the steps of a well-illuminated podium there, which had fine decorations. And as he reached the podium, you know, there was continuous loud applause till he was garlanded and till Bhagwan accepted the seat. As he was walking, there was continuous clapping, continuous euphoria that Swami was there with them. Swami spoke to them for 1 hour and a half untiringly. No translation, you know, Swami just can, his Telugu can just flow uninterrupted. And that is what happened. The audience was spellbound. And so that night they stayed in this residence of Dr. Saraswati, and every word, every gesture, every moment, every action of Bhagwan Raman Rao sir says that it was an enlightenment. It was a penance, because you could see how all attention was so focused on Bhagwan. 50,000 people in absolute silence, focused without any distraction, without any other attraction, focused only on Bhagwan. So that is how fantastic this trip was in the East-West Godavari district. And on 24th morning, they from Amalapuram at 8 a.m., you know, they went towards Razol. And in Razol, on the way, again, there are so many pandals along the road where devotees had assembled. And, you know, there were pandals at Manepalli, in Tatipaka, so many villages. You know, these villages probably would have never even heard, the remotest areas of East and West Godavari district. And everywhere, you know, people would be there on the roadside, and Swami would stop for a few moments and Swami would accept their garlands and arati. Once again, like this, while driving fast, Swami noticed an insignificant sort of token of adoration hung on the road. Basically, there was a village which is probably, you will not find it on the maps, it is called Poatu Matla. So in this village, there was a thin festoon of a dozen mango leaves strung from one coconut tree to another with a piece of paper pinned in the center. And this was waving in the wind, and it was on that it was written, welcome, you know. So Swami saw that thin, you know, strip of coconut, of mango leaves strung on two coconut trees. And Swami had actually gone about 50 yards where he wanted to stop. But Swami turned back, and Swami came to the where that welcome sign was written. And there were two old women standing there with garlands in their wrinkled hands. Swami opened his door so that these two ladies could touch Bhagwan's feet. Swami leaned forward so that these two ladies could put the garlands around his neck. And then Swami went to them and Swami said, here is your Swami. See, I'm so near you. Come, garland me. This is how he welcomed these two ladies. You can imagine this surgence of happiness that Bhagwan gave to all the devotees there. All these rural people who had only heard about Bhagwan, who have been worshipping his photos, who have been pining for one grace. Here is Bhagwan going to their doorsteps, going to their gardens, going to their fields, going to their homes and blessing them. And one of the lady extended her hand and said, Swami Prasadam. And Swami immediately plucked some petals from the flowers of the garlands that they had offered and placed them in the hands of both. So that is how, you know, at every instance, at every second, you were seeing manifestations of fantastic divine grace. There was also a brief stopover at Lakkavaram. At a distance of 3 kilometers, Swami asked the car to turn to the right. There was a rugged road. In fact, Lakkavaram, Swami went into a road that was rambling wildly across the fallow wastes into what appeared to be a no man's land. And everyone was wondering where Swami was going. No one knew that Swami was going to Kathimanda, nobody had any idea about what is that place that Swami was going. It was a God-forsaken road, but Swami asked the car to be stopped at the corner of a by lane of the village. He got down from the car and he trekked barefoot a distance of 30 feet and he went somewhere and people lost where Bhagwan went and all were left behind bewildered because suddenly Swami got down from the car and walked briskly and went somewhere. They could not locate Swami. After some time, Bhagwan came back and that is when Bhagwan revealed to all these devotees, Mr. Raman Rao and others, that 3 years ago, a couple came to Prashantanilayam, Swami said, from this village, Kathimanda. The wife lost 3 children in the past, soon after delivery. When she came, she was canning. And the couple were anxious to have the blessings of Bhagwan. And Swami asked the husband to admit this lady in Puttaparthi hospital. And by Swami's grace, she delivered a male child in her 7th month. They stayed at Puttaparthi till the child was 2 months old and then returned to their home in their village. Swami said, I went to that house and blessed the mother and that son who is now a 3-year-old chubby boy. So this, I mean, how many people Bhagwan has touched and he alone knows what is happening in every heart. And so here was Raman Rao witnessing all this. Another very interesting thing, at Lakavaram, Swami visited the residence of M. Balaji, an active worker of Satya Seva organization. He had the good fortune again to see a fantastic manifestation of Bhagwan's grace. So that morning, Balaji's pet dog died 4 hours before Bhagwan arrived there. And in anticipation of Swami's visit, you know, he was preparing for it. So what he did was he placed the corpse of that dog in a bamboo basket and he covered it with many layers of straw and tulsi leaves so that, you know, there is no smell. And he kept that basket under a mango tree in the backyard. When Bhagwan came, Swami came to this house and Swami blessed all the inmates of the house. And then suddenly Swami's eyes went to the backyard and Swami noticed that basket and Swami asked what is there in that. And that's when Balaji revealed to Swami that, you know, despite his best efforts by the veterinary doctor, that dog could not be cured and the dog just passed away before Bhagwan came, a few hours before Bhagwan's arrival. And it was, they could not do anything and they could not give it even a decent burial. Swami told, bring the basket. So he brought the basket to the front from the backyard. And Swami told Balaji, remove the leaves, remove the straw. Swami then materialized Vibhuti and sprinkled over that dog and patted that dog gently. Instantly, the dog opened its eyes and struggled little by little to stand on its legs and then started wagging its tail. You can imagine the expression. You can imagine what was happening in the eyes, in the hearts, in the minds of everyone who was watching. And there was so much happening. Perhaps people are not even, you know, noticing, because every moment there was some miracle happening in this historic trip. Swami then asked Balaji to feed the dog with warm milk. And later, when Mr. Raman Rao met Balaji at Puttaparthi during Shivratri, he confirmed that the dog was hale and hearty. So this was Bhagwan's trip to East West Godavari, January 1969. And here you had Raman Rao, sir, after being part of the world conference where he saw the revelation of who is Avatar. He had the revelation of what is Satya Sai Avatar. Here he was seeing Avatar in action. After the revelation, here was Avatar in action. There he saw who is Sai Baba and here he was seeing what is Sai Baba. Sai Baba is what he saw in the eyes of the thousands of devotees who are pining for him. Sai Baba is that who was reverberating the hearts of millions who longed for his grace. Sai Baba is that who was there in the lips of hundreds who chanted his name. Sai Baba was that who pulsated in the being of every person that he was coming across in that sacred delta in the East and West Godavari districts of Andhra Pradesh, January 1969. So that was the experience of Mr. Raman Rao. Imagine what kind of an impact it had on him. World conference and then all these amazing manifestations, leelas of the Lord that he was a personal witness to. In fact, there are many more stories, some very, very telling episodes. I will continue this, some of very interesting stories of the January 1969 trip. We'll continue in the next episode, but this is how Bhagwan was training Mr. Raman Rao, someone who made Sai first, service first, the goal of his life, and served till the ripe age of 90 in Prashantilayam. He was the Sevadal leader, first Sevadal, and continued to be the head of the Sevadal till, you know, he was alive, till the ripe age of 85, 86, and even after Bhagwan left, he continued to serve now as the editor of Telugu Sanatan Sarthi. That is the life of Mr. Raman Rao. We'll continue this in the coming episodes. Of course, in the next episode, in September, I'm going to go back to share with you the story of Vrindavan campus, because it celebrates 50 years in 2019, and we have started reminiscing the way Bhagwan has shaped this campus. So on the first Thursday of every outside, inside, deep inside episode every month, first Thursday of every month, the first episode is going to be on the Vrindavan campus, and after that we'll switch back again to the story of Mr. Raman Rao. Thank you so much, dear listeners, for being with me for this beautiful journey when we recount the stories of the servitors of the Lord. Thank you so much. If you have any queries or comments or anything you know that we can share in these episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, please feel free. You can write to listener@radiosai.org, or if you want to write anything personally to me, please feel free. You can write to Bishu, B-I-S-H-U, @radiosai.org. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram Kirtana Kali Yuga Sadhana. Jagatodharana Krishna Janardana. Krishna Janardana. Sai Nam Kirtana Kali Yuga Sadhana. Sai Murari Shri Madhusudana. Thank you.